Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
So good, so kind, so merciful, so just.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead to the readings for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I want to read the opening prayer. Listen carefully. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has a firm foundation, nothing is holy. Only in God is holiness and security and stability, firmness. Only in God. Are you trying to live your life apart from God? At some point, it will collapse. We want to stand on a firm foundation, on the foundation of Christ and the power of his resurrection. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy, bestow in abundance your mercy upon us, and grant that with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that ever endure. In other words, may I use the things of this world, and when I say use, rightfully, use the things of this world to bring me to eternity. In other words, the things of this world are not my goal. That's not my end. My end is eternity before the face of God. So that I want to use the things of this world in a way that brings me closer to God. Am I doing that? And I pray this prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Pray for that. This is Friday. We don't hear these readings until this Sunday, which will be the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Ask the Lord, am I living that way, that I am using the things of this world, not just as ends in themselves, for this life, but that I'm using them and the grace from them to bring me closer to the Lord. I'll come back to this in future programs, but just to ask yourself this question for now. Let's take a look at the first reading. It's taken from the second book of Kings, chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. A man came from Baal Shalasha, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits and fresh grain in the year. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this 20 barley loaves before 100 people?" And Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said. God always gives in abundance. God is not stingy. If we seek to know God's will and then ask God to accomplish his will in us, he will do so. And it will be far better than anything we could have ever come up with, because it will last not just here, but for all eternity. Psalm 145, the hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. I love this one verse here. The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. And then the last stanza, the Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. In other words, we ask him, even if we might be asking for something that's not the best thing for us, but we think it might be the best thing. It's a good, it just might not be God's good for us. So two things here. We want to be asking the Lord for those things that certainly are not sinful. Why would we ask the Lord for something that involves sin? At the same time, you can't isolate yourself and succeed. You can't. So come to the Lord and just say, Lord, give me what I think I need here. Show me, teach me, guide me, help me. He hears that. And he will answer. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. So I have to be asking God not just my own selfish, sinful pleasures, for heaven's sakes, don't do that, but to ask God for something good. Someone once said to me, there's a world of difference between the good thing and the God thing. Something we can see that's good. And, you know, it's okay, it's a good. But is it what God wants to give us? Because God's good lasts for all eternity. Whatever God imparts here in this life is intended for all eternity. Sometimes I just want satisfaction here and now. And it's all right to say to the Lord, Lord, could you please help this to happen or that to happen? Of course, he hears it. But the important thing is, Lord, I want you. I want to live with you and in you and through you for the glory of the Father. I want to be your disciple. I want to be your brother or your sister. Lead me to the Father. Use everything in my day to lead me closer to you and closer to the Father. That's the way you should pray. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The second reading is Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So, as Paul said, in light of that, live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. I've met in some parts of Europe, there are still kings and queens and etc. And I've met a number, and it strikes me in a certain way, and it's not bad. It strikes me they know who they are. Sometimes they don't know who they really are in Christ, but they know who they are as king or queen or governor or whatever the title is. They have a sense of their worth and their value. It's not bad. If pride gets hold of it, it can be, but it's not bad. So my question to myself and my question to you is, do I really live out of the reality that I am a daughter or a son of God? That I am a brother or a sister of Jesus Christ? I really am. This is the most real family that could ever be. I am. Am I living out of that reality? Do I understand my dignity, my worth, my value? Think about that. Really think about that. Because God wants us to know, he wants us clearly to know who we are, that we might bring others to know him. John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" See, so neither of them connects who they're talking to with what God can do. They're still learning who their Savior is. They believe him, but they don't yet see what this means. And Jesus is going to show them. Look at this. Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now, there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. And then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. Notice, as they wanted. And when they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets. Those are big baskets. 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. 5,000 people. They fed them all to their full. And there was fragments left over. Talk about the lavishness of God, the generosity of God. When you're in need, God wants to shower you in abundance. But we need to come to him. We need to make sure our priorities are his priorities. Then ask for what we need, and he will supply. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." These many uneducated people recognized before the scribes and the Pharisees what they were dealing with. This is real wisdom. This is real wisdom. These people may not have had an education at all, but they recognized him by the multiplication. They knew this was otherworldly. Brothers and sisters, every day in the Eucharist, God becomes present to feed us. How often do you take advantage of that incredible privilege? How often do you feed on his body and drink his blood? This is bread from heaven. He left that for us so that we would always be nourished, that we would always have what we most need. How often do you go? I know there are some times, some years, some places where your work schedules simply do not allow it, or the children are too young or too sick. I understand that. But where it's possible, not where it's just easy or a nice thing to do today, but where it's possible, are you willing to make the sacrifices necessary that you might feed on his body and blood, and that you in turn, not physically, but in turn, you become, in a certain way, because you are feeding on his body and blood, you are in a place to help to nourish others and to bring them to that same table. Your responsibility is real. But first of all, make sure you are feeding and you are drinking, that you may be able to impart that to others. May God abundantly bless you and lead you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.